So turn to Matthew, and we're going to be staying in one scripture in one book of the Bible today. We don't usually do that. This particular parable is only extended into this particular book. So if you're in Matthew chapter 13, this series of parables following the one we had last week of the parable of the soil oils, and now we're going to have the parable of these weeds, and then the mustard seed, and then the leaven, and then the explanation of the weeds or the tares. And that pericope of Scripture is only found in Matthew. Now, pericope. Whenever I use words like that, people look at me kind of funny. It's a Greek word. It means a cutting out of or a section of verses or a book. When you look at read a magazine and they have blocked out some words and a block that's from the article itself, that's called a pericope. And so we're going to break this down into three sections, actually four: wheat, mustard seed, leaven, and then the tares. He doesn't give a lot of explanation for the mustard seed or the leaven or why he puts them in between telling you the parable of the weeds and then giving the explanation of it, except that there was a period of time passing between those two, and he said those two parables in between. So it's kind of a message inside a message that we need to probably take apart, because you see in verse 24, it says, Jesus presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came to him and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, verse 24 is pretty clear. He says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven, that's what we're looking at here. The kingdom of heaven may be compared. That's a strange compared. When you think about the kingdom of heaven, you don't think of earthly things. But he says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in a field. We're talking about the kingdom stuff here. And see, this is a kingdom understanding. Jesus came to establish a kingdom here on earth. And now he's beginning to explain to us a little bit of the secrets of that kingdom. He says, this is revealing the parable kingdom secrets. If you jump down to verse 35 in the same section, which we'll get to in a few minutes, it says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Now, does that trigger your intrigue just a little bit? He's revealing secrets. Jesus is to reveal. It's prophesied in the Old Testament. He's going to reveal things that are hidden since the foundation of the world. This parable flows right out of the parable of the soils. Here Jesus points out the obvious. Weeds appear even when not planted. How did those weeds get in there? Well, an evil person came along and sowed tares in the field. The seed wasn't bad. It was good seed. Now, there's some comparisons we need to take note here. The first real garden was a single event of Adam and Eve placed in the Garden of Eden, and that was a perfect garden. The whole Bible seems to be a metaphor of garden and seeds and soil. And what you do with those seeds. When I was a pastor, I was a single pastor in three small churches in southern Ohio. The Sugar Tree Ridge Church. I used to say it's a sweet little place to go. All three churches were just really nice people. And they were farmers, and they brought me eggs and tomatoes and all kinds of fun stuff. Because I was single. Well, I had a fairly decent sized piece of property attached to the parsonage, which was right across the street from the middle church, and it was a big enough piece of property that it was obvious that previous pastors before me had planted a garden. So my next door neighbor asked me if I wanted him to plow for me to have a garden. And I said, sure. So he plowed me a garden. Now, I've never plowed my own garden. I've never planted my own seeds. I've never cultivated my own garden. So I went out there and I read up on it. She didn't have Google back then like you have it nowadays. And I read up on it and I planted my seeds and I got my roses straight as I could get them. Because I knew everybody that drove by that, and we were right on 635. So everybody that went to church and went from church or even went to the other churches sometimes passed by the parsonage. And everybody would be looking over and seeing my garden. So I tried to make very straight rows, and I was very careful to get my corn in a couple rows, and I put some tomato plants, and I got everything in there just the way I thought it ought to be. Planted far more food than I could ever eat. But you see, I was only a part-time pastor. I was only there Saturday and Sunday, and I was gone Monday through Friday. And when I came on Saturday and Sunday, I always had lots of things to do. Well, the garden wasn't a top priority. And guess what happened to my garden? Weeds, 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 weeds. I mean, people drove by, they saw my weeds. And every farmer in the valley wanted to comment. I'd even go to the grocery store and say, oh, I see you're growing a nice crop of weeds out there. Embarrassing. It was my first garden at that church. It was my last garden at that church. But I didn't plant any weeds. As a matter of fact, I was very, very careful to till the soil and get the rocks out and go through and get the weeds out. And I made my rows straight. And I did have a halfway decent crop. But among my crop were weeds, like those guys in this parable. How did those weeds get in there? Where did those weeds come from? Well, you and I are victims of weeds in our lives. Adam and Eve was a victim of weeds in the perfect garden. I mean, the absolute perfect garden. There was no sin in the Garden of Eden. And yet, there was an enemy who snuck in and kind of deceived them, and they fell from that perfect garden. So I guess I don't feel so bad if one got in God's garden, that bunch of them got in my garden. Except to say this, who is our enemy? Who is it that comes in and plants weeds in our garden of life? And how does he express himself or herself? Victims. We are victims. Jesus is telling you in this parable, and I want you to hear this. This is one of those kingdom secrets, that you have an enemy. There is a devil, and he is going to be around you, and he's not happy with you, and he's going to come after you, and you have a devil. An enemy came along and planted seeds in the garden. In the parable of the soils, which we saw last week, I noted that seed has qualities in the kingdom. So the seed has these qualities. A seed is alive. It contains life. If you take that tiny little seed, there's life inside that seed. Now, it's dormant until you plant it, but there's life inside that seed. Second seed does nothing until it's planted. As long as it's in that sack on your shelf in your garage, it is not going to spring to life. Isn't that right, Jeremy? Who works with seeds all the time. As long as it's on the shelf, it's not going to do anything. Number three, seeds do not grow sitting in a sack, but they must be planted properly and then taken care of. A seed is much smaller than the plant produces. So that out of that tiny seed, no matter what comes out of it, aren't you amazed at what can come out of a seed? Those tiny seeds become flowers, they become tomatoes, they become corn, they become small bushes, they become trees. These tiny little seeds. There's life in that seed, and that seed produces something much greater than it is. A seed always produces after its own kind. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." What kind of seeds are we sowing? Are we sowing good seed, or are we sowing weeds? A seed is powerful. As a seed begins to grow, it must push up the dirt, the rocks, whatever, and whatever the obstacles are, God's word planted in your heart will push them out of the way. If God's word is planted in your heart, it's going to develop and grow inside you. When you plant the word of God, which is the seed, which I told you last week was the sperma, right? The life that comes inside you is planted in the fertile ground of your heart or your soil, and it's going to grow. Now, it's going to hit obstacles in your life because you've messed yourself up royally. And it's got all these obstacles it's got to get out of. But if it's allowed to grow in there and you don't cover it up or you don't shut it up, that seed is going to continue to grow into something special in your life. It'll overcome all of the obstacles. You know, there's some weeds that can do that also. I've got nice bushes in my front yard. But some kind of weed has gotten in my yard, and it creeps underground and pops up and creeps underground and pops up. You can't seem to find the end of the stupid thing. And then it climbs up the trees and goes squealing out here. I've got some chimes that hang on our porch on one end. It comes out, goes over, grabs the post, and reaches out in the midair and knows that those chimes are there and wraps itself around my chimes. Devil, stinker, what do you say? You have to cut it off and it comes back. You cut it off, you cut off at the source, you think, and then it comes up of another source. I don't know how to get rid of it. A seed is not affected by other seeds. A seed will stop growing without some nourishment. More seeds planted produce a larger harvest. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Why do you think I keep putting out those Gospels of John out there? You can grab one or two and take them and pass them out. Why do I pass out Gospels of John? It's the Word of God. It's a seed. Now, does every one of my seeds take root? A lot of them are not even red. But if they're handed out correctly by turning to someone and says, "I have a gift for you. I want you to know that this is a very precious gift that has the message of Jesus Christ in it. If you'll just take the time to read it, it can change your life." You want to know something? I get reports back from Gospel League. I get a little plaque saying how many people have taken it, read it, and used it. I even get it when you pass them out. Do you know why? Because we probably put little stickers in them. It has a number on it. That number is my number. If someone responds to the gospel, they contact them, and then I find out that somebody's responded to the gospel. I've got a lady right now over in Indiana. Never met the woman. Don't know what she looks like. But she got one of the gospels over in Indiana. And she has taken up the league of passing out seeds over there. And she wanted to let me know that she's loved that gospel and it's changed her life and she wants to help reach out to change other people's lives. You can now, that's not a hard thing to do, guys, to take one of those little pocket testaments and give it to somebody and tell them that Jesus loves them. A seed is not affected by other seeds. A seed will not stop growing without nourishment. A seed is planted will grow a greater harvest. If you think on these truths about seeds, allow the Holy Spirit to help you to apply them inside your life and the role that they have in your life. It can change your life, and it can change the life of people around you. How are we to handle the weeds, though, that are growing up around us? This is an unexpected answer in a parable. How are you to handle those weeds? You know what the gospel says? Leave them alone. Now, would you have expected that? No, we want to go and pull all the weeds. We don't like weeds in our garden. Jesus says, leave them alone and let them grow alongside the good seed and don't deal with them. There is an active enemy sneaking into our field, distributing weed seeds, and he says, you can expect it to happen, but leave them alone. You know what that really says to me? You're arguing the faith is not going to do any good. You're trying to straighten out people's lives as you're growing alongside all the other people in the field is not going to do a whole lot of good. Same thing is true in politics, by the way. You can argue until you're blue in your face, but those people who have one side, they want to stay on that side, and people on that side want to stay on that side, until something inside them changes. And your convincing arguments, no matter how good they are, is just going to cause turmoil. So shut up. I mean it. When you stir up controversy, that's what you're doing, is stirring up controversy. So it's better for us to believe what we believe, hold on to what we believe, share our faith when asked, but don't share it until you are asked. And then when you do share it with a loving heart. And always attack problems, don't attack people, especially when you're presenting the gospel. Because when you're presenting the gospel, people need to know about the love of God, the unbelievable love of God that it conquers everything. And until they're conquered by that love, they're not going to understand good seed. from bad seed. So we've got to take our time and stand strong. So that's the understanding of the weed. Just simply laid it out. There's good seed out there. It's only one field. And this time, instead of there's four different soils in the first parable, he comes down to one soil in the second parable. There's only one seed in the first, which is the Word of God. In this one, there's many seeds that are planted all over the place. And that's the little speckles. This is what you're doing instead of what God's doing. What God's doing in the first parable. This one, as you take what, after it gets in your heart, then you start becoming a seed planter. And as you become a seed planter, this is how you are to handle your life. He says, okay, now send out your seed, do the best you can. And then when the weeds start growing up, it's okay, you can expect it. Don't worry about it, because God's going to have his day with those who reject. It's not your job. Your job is the easy job. Your job is to love everybody. You know, that's an incredible job, isn't it? Jesus exampled that for us. He came and he loved everybody. And the more you love everybody, the better you have as an opportunity to win somebody. So we don't want to go around judging people. We want to go around loving people. And if you go around loving people, they begin to respond, right? And then the seed begins to get planted inside them. And so he goes through the next parable. Now he's going in succession here. He gives the parable of the weeds. Now he doesn't really give the understanding of it until after he gives two more short parables. The first one's the parable of the mustard seed. He says in verse 31, directly following this parable, he says, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. What's he saying? He says in the middle of the field, he plants a mustard seed. The mustard seed grows in the midst of the wheat field, and it grows up. And then it surpasses all of the wheat, all of the tares, and suddenly it grows into a big tree in the middle of the field. And now birds can come and make nests in it and live in it. Well, that's what happens when you plant a bunch of seeds out there. But then when you plant a mustard seed of faith out there, it makes a difference. I've got two brothers here today that are kind of exciting to have here with their wives. And JR and Jeremy, do you mind if I talk about you? Everybody knows, right? Well, these guys have been coming and have been struggling with some issues in their past. And both of them have had seed, the Word of God, planted in their hearts. And it's beginning to grow inside them. And to be truthful, I'm very proud of both of them. One of them just got out of jail yesterday. You want to make sure we knew which one, didn't you? But the one thing I can say about both these guys is I love them. And I'm proud of them. And I want them to succeed. Now, JR, 2 years. He's succeeding. God's blessed him and putting things together. Jeremy's a little closer to the struggle, but he's making it right now. So Jeremy goes before the court Monday morning, hoping to be there with him. And so pray for him, because we're looking for a way to get him to the refuge so he can spend some time reorganizing his life. But he's doing it on his own, some. But he doesn't realize how much he does need help. The Word of God needs to surround him. He needs prayer coverage. He needs the support of brothers who've been through the battle. And so I've watched this with lots of people. But the one thing, I've stood in front of him. I sat down with him this past week in the jail. And the thing I can tell you is I love his heart. And you're going to make it. You are going to make it. Let me just say, I'm planting a seed inside you. It's a mustard seed. And that mustard seed, when it grows, people are going to have birds jump into your branches. Or people are going to say, you did it. How did you do it? I want to come alongside you. And you'll be able to help other people. And you got a support team there with you, with a wife who's worried about you, scared to death for you, but she's still sticking with you. And so you've got a good team. You've got a brother over here in Carl. And Carl's already got his branches stretching out some, and so the birds can go into his nest. And then right beside Carl, we have Billy. And Billy's our first one. He's the one that grabs people and brings them into church. And he succeeds because he's got G right there sitting beside him. And she's an evangelist. And they both had their mother, Janet. So you see a row of people there that are examples of what we're looking at when we look at this parable. The gospel gets planted in your hearts, and they're here. That means something, doesn't it? And we're all in this together. Praise God we didn't get caught up in some of the things that the world threw at us, or we'd be in the same boat that they've been in and succeed. And some of you are. And some of you is with alcohol. Some of you is with cigarettes. Some of it's with eating, like me. We all have our binges of what we need to be concerned about. But the thing is, we plant a seed of success. And I want you all to know that's what God's doing with everybody in here. He's planting seeds in your heart with the Word of God every time you come that you can succeed. You can make it. You can get through it. And then as you finally begin to break out of it, your life begins to have purpose and meaning, and the branches begin to go. And then he starts sorting out your life and putting pieces back together. Isn't that right, Robert? Because Robert's watching his branches grow out. And God's giving him a fresh new life and a new perspective. So these particular parables have meaning to this church. So we have the parable of soils. Now we have the parable of the weeds. And we have good seed, and we have the weeds growing up alongside us or inside us sometimes. And then we have the parable of the mustard seed. It just takes one little seed inside your soil, one little seed, and all of a sudden it can grow and become a major strength that you have. And he doesn't say a whole lot about the mustard seed, but we know from other places in the scripture, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, what? You can move mountains. So these pieces begin to fall together. Now we go to the parable of the leaven. He spoke another parable, right in succession. These are only one or two scriptures long. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world." He didn't speak to them without speaking to them in parables. This parable is only one sentence long. He just said the kingdom of heaven, once again, the kingdom of heaven that he wants to bring on earth is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was leavened the whole loaf. And so when you take the gospel and you put it in 12 disciples, and those 12 disciples had their disciples as they went out through the book of Acts, and then they had their missionary journeys, then they wrote their letters, and then those disciples got their families and their friends and their neighborhoods and those families and those families and those families, until here we are in Newark, Ohio, 2,000 years later. And can you see how the leaven is now gone through the whole peck of wheat? We are still proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the gospel of the kingdom. Wheat once harvested and ground makes flour, which is used to make bread. Bread can be infiltrated with just a little bit of leaven to rise. And once that leaven gets in that one lump of bread, women take and tear off a piece of that, wrap it up, and put it in the refrigerator. And so the next time that they make bread, they don't have to use leaven. They just take that little piece of bread and put it in the new lump. Guess what happens? It infiltrates that lump. So then they take another piece of that and put it away. They make the bread. And then they take the leaven out and put it in another lump. So the kingdom of heaven is like three pecks of flour until it has leavened the whole loaf. The kingdom of heaven is like that leaven. And Jesus says the seeds he is using to leaven the world with his message of forgiveness. The good news is that Jesus died for our sins. The good news is you don't have to perform to make it into heaven. He's not looking at your performance. He loves you just like you are. And that's the message that's going to leaven the world. It's not going to be don't do drugs. It's not going to be don't have sex outside of marriage. It's not going to be don't smoke or don't whatever. The leaven that's going to change the world is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from your sins, and he loves you like you are. That is really good news, because even when you mess up, guess what? He still loves you. Now, after giving you those two short parables, he takes you to the weeds. He says in verse 36, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares in the field.' And he said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, These are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil, and the harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burnt with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. So the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteousness will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now that last sentence is how you know that they're closing this pericope of Scripture. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's going to be a judgment day, guys. And when the judgment day comes, it's going to be sad for the weeds and the tares. But there's also going to be a judgment day where you don't have to worry about judging people. That's not your job. Your job is to scatter good seed and to love people and to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So now you understand that there is an evil one who's scattering seeds on the planet. He's trying to overcome the good seed. Do you see where he's going with this? It all goes back right to the Sermon on the Mount, right down to the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he's telling us that that is not going to be a perfect environment until the end. When's that end going to be here? Do you? None of us do. He didn't want us to know. But the one thing I do know is we're just keep spreading good seed, to keep loving our neighbor, to keep loving our wives, to keep loving our husbands, to keep loving our children, to keep loving our next door neighbors, to keep loving each other. Because how are they going to know we're Christians in this church? Because of our love for each other. We need to take that to heart. And here on this weekend, when we are looking at all of 2019 and trying to come up with an understanding of who we are and where we're going, the one thing I am so very, very proud of is the love that you find in this church. We had two visitors this last Sunday, and they came down, and I got to talk to both of them. And what they expressed about this church, you would be very proud. They felt a warm welcome. One was from Florida, and her sister was from around here. And they said, they'd never seen anything like this. Well, the one from Florida had, because she went to a vineyard before. But the other one had never been in a vineyard church. She had a very religious background, and she went to church all the time. She said she prayed the rosary every day, but she couldn't find solace. But she found some of that solace here. You should be happy, because your works are being seen when people come to these doors. But they need to see it out there, too. When you take your kids to the ballpark, football, baseball, soccer, whatever, don't you be one of those who stirs up controversy. Don't you be one of those yellow dollars criticism at the umps, or they're doing their best, or the coaches. You be the one to encourage those umps. Encourage those umps so that people can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you go to the workplace, don't be tearing down your boss. Don't be tearing down the company. Build them up. Let them see your good works. They don't have to give you a job. And you don't have to work there if you're not happy. So relax. Relax. Grow up as wheat. Be aware that there's tares around you, but don't let it destroy you. That's the message. And as we come together, we are gathering all the wheat here in the barn. I want you to know this also. Satan knows that also. And he wants to come to church and destroy what we have. So don't listen. Keep your heart and your mind and your eyes fully fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And let's pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you for an opportunity to come together and pray for each other and love each other and extend the gospel's good news that you're here. Plant mustard seeds in our hearts that can grow into trees, that we can receive and know that you do love us and accept that love. Oh, Lord, let miracles happen, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.